We'll just wait for Judy to finish. I'll let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for everybody that came out tonight to hear your word, that make it a priority in their life, as do I. Lord, just bless this message as it goes forth. Lord, let your spirit speak to us. And again, five words, that we may know you, Lord. And let this message go forth from each individual here out into the world. In Jesus we pray, amen. I don't even know how to start this one. Romans 10. So I'm given the assignment to preach, and I wait for a word from God. And I read Romans 10 on Saturday, and here it is. Romans 10, verses 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel was that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. My heart's desire and prayer to God for the people in my life is that they may be saved. Saved for eternity, saved from this fallen world, saved from the evil one, and saved from themselves. Is this the desire that you have, the people that God has placed in your life by divine appointment? You know the ones. Couldn't shake them if you wanted to. And if you did, you knew it would be wrong. Then act like it. Act like it according to Scripture. Not as the world acts, but as the Word tells us to act. And it says that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven or inherit the kingdom of heaven. And what does our flesh and blood do? It does and it does not do. This is the value of our flesh and blood. We can do things and not do things. And that does not enter the kingdom of heaven. Only His righteousness enters in. And by believing, we receive His righteousness. That we have received by faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. And again, Galatians 6:1. If a man is overtaken in any trespasses, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And here's what I saw. It's the same message I give every time I get up here. And I told Mom that. She's like, is there another message to give? No, there's not. It's one gospel. One hope. One God. One Lord. One baptism. One faith. But here's the temptation I see. Consider yourself, lest you be tempted. For I am witness against myself for them, that I have a zeal for God, but often not according to knowledge. For often I am ignorant of God's righteousness for other people, and I seek to establish them in their own, not submitting to the righteousness that only comes through faith. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Romans 4:3. So this doing and not doing does not inherit the kingdom of God. For it is the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Titus 2:11 and 12. So it's not doing or not doing that brings us into salvation. It is the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness. So when I give this advice, I make it about right and wrong choices in people's lives. And I'm cheating them. That's what I'm doing. Be more like me. Don't do that. Do this. And I do this to the people I love. Going to the law of sacrifice and burnt offerings, of doing and not doing, to restore them. But Psalms 51:16 says, Lord, you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So woe to you, Greg. For you load down men with burdens hard to bear. For you yourself do not touch these burdens with one finger. The righteousness of God, again, we cheat each other by telling people to do and not do. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. So don't be cheated. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Be good and God will bless you. Stop doing what you're doing, you'll be blessed by God. This is a filthy rag principle. It's giving a reason to go to God to receive something other than God himself. It's a principle according to this world. Since none are good, no, not one, Romans 3:10 tells us, yet we desire that they be something that they can't be, and that is good. Just want you to be good. I want you to make the right choices. It makes my life easier. It makes your life easier. And how easy we fall into this trap without thinking the principles of this world or we walk in every day. I know I give worldly advice to my friends I care about often. And without our fellowship with the Son through his word, we have been cheated and we will continue to be cheated. And we will cheat those that we care about. And when I am leaning on the understanding and traditions of men and their philosophies, the world offers death and death more abundantly. This is what I offer the people I care about. If it's not according to Scripture, if it's not according to his righteousness, I'm offering you death and more abundantly. But when we lean on the Son and we lean on his word, we offer life and life more abundantly. And Colossians continues on in verse 20. It says, therefore, if you died from Christ from the basic principles of this world, why as though living in this world do you subject yourselves to regulations? Why do you subject them to regulations? Well, because they're sinning a sin that's just so pure that you never done. You can't understand why they keep doing that. These are regulations we're putting on people. The only way to have victory over the world is through the cross, where Jesus took us and them and the sins of the whole world to be crucified. Without being crucified, how can we possibly defeat these powers and principalities of this world? We're not more cunning than them. Only the Word of God is. And Christ did for us what we could not do for ourselves, so that through faith we can be more than conquerors in him. And the world tells us the solution to sin is to stop sinning. Does the Word tell us that? Absolutely not. The Word tells us that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. That the cross of Christ has defeated the power of sin and death. And we want to say, quit sinning and your life will be better. They're missing the mark. Let's say they quit doing what they were doing and still not have found the grace of God. Are they in a better position as a sinner? Are they just a sober person? Are they just, I always go to addiction, I'm sorry. Are they just a good sinner now? It's the grace of God that we have to bring people to. Not these philosophies and deceits and these traditions of men. Like I said, the world tells us the solution to sin. I tell myself, I just need to stop doing this. When the Word says to confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you all unrighteousness. And do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Isaiah 64. Have you seen yourself in the reflection of the Word? Like truly? Like looking at the Word. Jacob, you say it all the time. There's nothing good in me. Nothing. Apart from Christ, I'm nothing. And that's what the Word of God shows you. Who you are apart from him, that nothing good dwells in you. Your best is filthy rags. You're good. Good as you think you are, and we'll get there. There's a great example of that with the Pharisee and the tax collector. And do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. but you were washed. Oh, yeah, this, but such were some of you. Do you think that everybody doesn't fall under one of these lists? We are all these things. Maybe you haven't practiced each one, but everybody hits this list. And Paul says, such were some of you. So that tells me that there are people that are believers in Christ in this audience, and there are people that do not believe in Christ in this audience. Because the ones that believe, Paul can say, so were such as some as you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And how easily I forget this, and I become a Pharisee with a zeal for God, for the people I care about, but not according to knowledge, not according to His righteousness, and I seek to establish them in their own. This is an utter failure. I know Corinthians talks about going to the law and the courts, but it's the same principle. It's an utter failure to do this with people. Oh, foolish Greg. Oh, foolish Judy. Oh, foolish Ty. Evan. Full, he waves. That's great. Oh, foolish Matt. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This I only want to learn from you. Did you receive the spirits by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? So how did you start your walk in Christ? Did you do something? Did you not do something? Of course not. You believed. That's it. That's it. Faith. A little more than nothing. A mustard seed. This is what we did. We didn't do nothing. So this is how we started. Oh, foolish ones. Are you so foolish? Having begun this way? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? So that you started this way, knowing that you did nothing to receive this free gift of grace. Now, do you take your next step in Christ doing anything other than that every day of your life? And like I said, the burdens we put on other people. Do we put them under a burden of their flesh, being made perfect in their flesh? I know I do it. I'm guilty of this. And like I said, it's a big mistake. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Oh, foolish Galatians. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And that's Galatians chapter 3. So I say, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith when you're restoring somebody in your own personal walk with yourself. Are you trying to be a good person? Or are you submitting to the righteousness of Christ? Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? 2 Corinthians 13:5. And when I often find myself disqualified, I know I have the Spirit of God in me, but I'm not walking in the Spirit often. And most of the time, it's when I'm trying to help somebody. And if we add anything to this righteousness that we have received as a free, undeserved gift of grace, would we not find ourselves disqualified? Do we not set up people to be disqualified when we add something that they have to do to receive the righteousness of God other than faith and belief in Christ? Now, I know I have no righteousness of my own, but yet I want to coach and correct other people to seek and find their own righteousness, like Romans 10 told me. If it ain't Christ, it ain't right. Paul said, and be found in him in Philippians 3, verses 9 and 10, that when Christ comes back, my greatest desire is to be found in him with no righteousness of my own. And the purpose of this, which is from the law, and Paul said, and if anybody has any right to brag, but I count all these things as losses. Any good thing that I thought I did for my own righteousness, I count it as a loss. In the purpose, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. So when there is righteousness found within myself, I'm hindering Christ. Paul said that if I have no righteousness of my own, then I will know him fully. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. But again, I want them to be like me. Stop making those choices I don't choose. They need to go to church. They need to read the Bible. You know, we take these bridges that God has made for ways for him to, for us to come to him through his word, through fellowship, through the church. But then for some reason I twist it and I make it man-made and I say, well, if you do these things, then God will. Again, how did you start? In the spirit or in the flesh? How are you going to be made perfect? In the spirit or in the flesh? It's not about doing something, then God will. It's about receiving what God has given to you. Then you will. Then you will do these things. But it's not a bridge that we make to tell people, well, if you do what I do, then you will have. No, it's a gift that they need to receive for themselves. This undeserved gift. And then I look at them in judgment, too. Not righteous judgment. I still don't even understand what righteous judgment is, I'll be honest with you. Still haven't figured that one out in my walk. Normally when I'm upset, I'm in sin. But I do, I compare them with myself, forgetting who I used to be. So easily. I class myself with them, measuring myself, measuring them against myself, comparing myself amongst them, and that is not wise. Because I was them. We all were them. And I say them, air quote it, fill it in for yourself. And it doesn't measure up. And I thought about what I did to receive the grace of God. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And who are you to judge another servant? Romans 14:4 says, to his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him to stand. So when I tell them what to do and what not to do, I am passing judgment. Though I am to give wise counsel. I'm not saying you don't give wise counsel to people, but you give wise counsel and that's it. There's no expectations in this. Well, Lord, I thank you that I don't have those struggles anymore. I thank you that I come to church every Tuesday night. I thank you that I read my word. But look at them. If only they were more like me. Yeah. Yeah. I have these thoughts. I really do. I deal with people in addiction still, and it's insane for me to think where I was and what I did, which was absolutely nothing. But because of the people in my life, I had an opportunity to meet my Savior. And it reminds me of Luke 18. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Lord, look what I do. Lord, I go to church. I read the word every day. I study it. Look at me, Lord. Look what I do. And look what they're doing. At least I'm not like them. And a tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to a sinner like me. And Jesus says, I tell you, this went down to his house justified rather than other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I probably read this verse up here at this podium before, and I just absolutely fell in love with them again. I was sharing them with my brother Sam there earlier. This is what's required. Lord, have mercy on a sinner like me. You think God's pleased with you saying what you do? Absolutely not. Oh, foolish Greg. Looking to justify myself by what I do. But this man could not even look up to heaven, beat his breast, and was justified before God. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Again, restoring such a one in the spirit of gentleness. I want them to be right in their flesh. I'm coaching their flesh to be right. Stop doing those things. They hurt me. They hurt yourself. And what's the point of all this? All this stuff. It's nothing to do with our glory. It's so that he may be glorified. Glorified for being a gracious, merciful, loving God that gives to the undeserving, the one that knows he or she has more than they can handle. that they have a burden of sin that they can't shake. The one that believes. Jesus told Martha, "Did I not say to you that if you would only believe, you would see the glory of God?" And I love this example too. I preached about it last week or the week before with Lazarus. I mean, he was dead. There was nothing for Martha to expect out of Lazarus. And that's how we are to be with the people we care about, especially the ones stuck in sin, maybe unbelievers. They're dead. What are you expecting out of a dead man? But you look at me. Don't look at the tomb. You look at me. And if you believe, you will see the glory of God in this situation. You might not see the outcomes that you want, but he promises that you'll see his glory, and that will be enough. If you've ever seen the glory of God personally for yourself, you know that that will be enough. So I ask you, are you acting right with these people you care about? Yeah, like I said, what we do should be the result of the grace that we have received. We don't want to coach people into saying, do these things and you'll receive grace. I hear it all the time in counsel, out of my own mouth. Do this and then God will. It's not how he works. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James 2:26. The works of faith. The will and works of God are that we believe in the Son. Period. This is where it starts. This is where it finishes. This is unto salvation and for every step in our Christian walk. Matthew 7:21-23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" This is a warning against false teachers. I mean, you can take these scriptures a lot of different ways, but it is a warning against false teachers. And this intimate call that they called to him, "Lord, Lord," do you think they knew they were wrong? Do you think they believed they were wrong? They believed what they were teaching. "We did this for you, Lord. Look what I've done for you, Lord." Having a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge of his righteousness, seeking to establish their own. And can we not also be susceptible to be called those who practice lawlessness if we're working from our own righteousness? And he says, "But he who does the will of the Father in heaven," and it's like does the will, so what's doing the will of God? John 6:38-40. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will," this is Jesus saying, "but the will of him who sent me." The will of God who sent me. "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last days. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last days. This is the will of the Father, to believe in the Son." And then we say, well, now we believe in the Son. Well, how do we do the work of the Son? How do we do the work of God? John chapter 6, earlier in the chapter. "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you may believe in him who sent, him who he sent.'" So we have the will of God is to believe in the Son. The work of God is to believe in the Son. Now I ask you, as you're restoring such a one in the spirit of gentleness, how is that looking? Are you in the will and work of the Father? To be in the will and work of God is not a hard thing to figure out. Well, I want to know what God's will is. I want to know what God's will is. I hear this stuff a lot. Well, we're doing God's work. You know, it's an effortless, thoughtless thing. It's not an effort you have to put forth. You don't have to figure it out. He tells us plainly, believe in the Son. Walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see the temptations here? with self-righteousness, with doing and don't, burnt offerings and sacrifices, that we place burdens on people, that in this temptation we're actually falling into sin ourselves. Wanting them to be saved, to think we need to work or they need to work in order to be in the will of the Father, when it simply comes down to belief. This Christian walk is not a complicated thing. I realize that more and more. People ask me how your day is going. It's great. It's a good day. I don't say I have bad days anymore. I have bad moments. But I repent, I'm washed clean, and I pick up and start over. Like I said, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" So we don't trust in men. We trust in God. Having no confidence in the flesh. And I know I'm off when people disappoint me. Or I get upset with them. Because guess what I did? I put confidence in the flesh. I put confidence in men. If I didn't have confidence, if I don't have confidence in you, I can't be disappointed by you. If I have no confidence in you, I'm never disappointed. Scott said it on Sunday, dependence on man is independence from God. And dependence on God is independence from men. This goes personally and with other people. Can't depend on yourself for nothing. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one to the flesh," Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:16. "Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no longer. Do we know these people according to the flesh that we love? You know we're sinning just like they are? Psalms 147 says, "For he does not delight in the strength of horses. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his mercy." Are you preparing your horse for the day of battle when you go to meet these people and talk with them? Or are you hoping in his mercy for them? This is what he takes delight in. "Woe to those who go down in Egypt for help," Isaiah 31. Well, we're surrounded by the enemy. We better go to Egypt, get some more horses, because God's not taking care of this. We've got to go to Egypt and take care of it ourselves. "And rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But you do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord." Are you seeking the Word? Are you seeking the Lord to do these things? To bring Lazarus out of the tomb? Psalms 118, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." 146, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, whom there is absolutely no help." Proverbs 21, "There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. The horse prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord." You know, we talk about not warring against flesh and blood. Be honest, how many times do you war against flesh and blood in a day? The scripture says we do not do this. A lot. I do it a lot. Without the Word, how do you even recognize what you're doing wrong? Without this personal relationship with the Lord, for Him to reveal these things through His Word to you, personally, not through me, not through another teacher, not through a sermon, but for you personally in the time you spend with the Lord. For you should not be in need of any teachers anymore. You should be teachers. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I think Ty's the one that stuck that out to me the one time. Well, Lord, when are you going to fix this? Well, when you're right. When you're right, Jacob. When you're right, Craig. That's when I'm going to do it. You ain't got to figure it out yet. So I got to prolong this so you can learn what you need to learn. And then you will see the glory of God. But Lord, I want your glory now. I don't want to just believe. I want to tell you when I want to see it. I don't want to do long suffering. I don't want to be patient. Give it to me now. And let's thank Christ that doesn't deal with us like that. I said last time up here, when Christ calls me a friend, and it came out last time, I'm a terrible friend to Christ. As best as I want to pretend like I am, I have to admit that I'm not good at it. And then I expect my friends to be better towards me and themselves than I am towards Christ. And he is so long-suffering towards me. So incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Hear these words that were spoken tonight, not from me, but from the Word of God. And apply them, apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you, Aunt Susan. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge, that I may make you known the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who sent you? Proverbs 22:17-21. Incline your ear to the Word of God, because these people, they're sent to us. So that you may trust in the Lord. For the Word instructs us. Even me. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you known the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you? Get the Word. If not you, then who? And I still have situations where I pray that God sends somebody in their life. It's you, dummy. It's me. And I do know this lesson, this teaching tonight, very personally. I think of the people in my life. Their advice did not save me. Their love did not save me. But those who believed for me presented opportunity for Jesus to do what he promised Martha. That they would see the glory of God. It gave me an opportunity to come face to face with my Savior. And I remember it very clearly. For woe I am undone, Lord, for I am an addict amongst a building of addicts. I am undone. For I have seen the Lord. I have seen the cross of Christ. This happened to me. And it's nothing that I did. It's from the people that walked in the grace of the Lord and gave me the grace of the Lord. Luke 18:35-43. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by, and he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Sound familiar? Sound like the tax collector? Just have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on them. Then those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, yeah, but they need to do something. You hear the people, the naysayers? Well, they need to do something. They need to want to get better. God helps those who help themselves. This is what I hear when you say, "Well, just believe. Just believe." Keep that nonsense down. People got to do stuff to receive the grace of God. And you cry out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on them. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Not praise to Greg, not praise to Judy, not praise to Dan. But when this grace was given to me, glory was given to God. You know that we had nothing to do with it. All praise went to the only one worthy that can handle praise, and that's our Father in heaven. Might as well finish reading Romans here. Nothing wrong with reading the word. Romans 10, verse 4 through 11. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. For the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us esteem others better than ourselves. Got to stay humble. This is a real temptation to step out of humility into pride, restoring such a one that has fallen to the trespass of sin. So let love be without hypocrisy. Harbor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place for wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap hot coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, 9 through 21. One more verse? One more verse. Romans 10, 14 through 15. And Scott said it, and I said it 2 weeks ago. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You've been called for such a time as this. I've been called for such a time as this. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? For it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Are your feet blessed? Is this the life that you live, that people see, that you actually bring this gospel of peace and good tidings into people's lives? Or do you look like the rest of the world? You get aggravated easily, angry, upset, can't believe what they did. Oh, this job just frustrates me so much. That's mine. That's my new favorite one right now. That's my 70 times 7 a day. But I will continue to confess it. But beautiful are these feet. These are our feet. These are our feet. God dwells in us. He sends us out in the world. We are the body of Christ. So if not you, then who? It's only He only gives us chances to partake in His righteousness, not to have our own. And we can either pass up these opportunities or we can partake in them. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you again for gathering us together tonight. We just love you, Lord. We love your word. And we love what it does in our lives, how it transforms us effortlessly. And that, Lord, that we receive your righteousness in exchange for our sins. And we thank you, Lord. And we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus I pray, amen. And bless the offering. Amen.